COVID cancels a game, almost canceled Friday's game, but there is some good Celtics news on this Monday. Locked On Celtics, Millie's. Let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going. Work, the gym, whatever it is, shower. Maybe you're using this podcast to go to sleep. I know one of you does. Thank you for choosing this podcast for that purpose, whatever it is. I'm John Corrales. I cover the team. I host the show. And I'm the author of the new book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which is now available at online booksellers everywhere. And when I say everywhere, like literally, somebody sent me a screenshot from Singapore. So, everywhere. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get 20% off your next order. Lots to get to in this show. Start in segment one with the game against the Miami Heat that was postponed because of COVID. Segment two, I'll talk about Friday's game against the Wizards, which was kind of dicey. The Celtics were very undermanned for that, but a great story there with Taco Fall. And segment three, the good news, Kemba Walker could be back soon. In fact, there is chatter that it might be this week. So I'm going to talk about that in segment three. Let's start with what should have been a post-game podcast. This should have been a post-game podcast with the good and the bad and the storylines from this game against the Miami Heat. And one of the storylines was going to be how it was basically going to be an 8-on-8 game with both teams basically fielding the minimum, suiting up the minimum. However, due to contact tracing on the Miami Heat of an unknown player, that player was held out and the Heat were down to 7, which is not a legal team, and so the game was postponed. The Celtics were down to 8 because Jason Tatum tested positive for COVID-19. Jaylen Brown, Tristan Thompson, Semi Ojeleye, Grant Williams, Robert Williams, and Javonte Green all out due to contact tracing. So the Celtics were left with basically a G League team, Marcus Smart and Jeff Teague. It's basically what they were left with. How many times have I said the word basically in this podcast so far? Anyway, the Celtics were shorthanded. This was going to be a really interesting game. I was prepared for Aaron Nesmith. I was looking forward to actually the silver lining in this stupid game that shouldn't have been played and should have been postponed a while ago. But I thought, hey, look, if these guys are going to have to play, at least get Nesmith out there and let him screw up and let him kind of play through those screw-ups. And you don't have to bench him and all of that stuff. But regardless, it didn't matter. It was a moot point. The league postponed the game. Don't know when. But this triggers something else. Because now Boston shut down their practice facility. They've got 8 players. Are they going to be able to play against Chicago? They play Chicago on Wednesday. Are they going to be able to play that game? Is it Wednesday? No, Tuesday. They play Chicago on Tuesday. Are they going to be able to play that game? The Miami Heat suddenly couldn't field a team. What's going on with Miami? When are they going to be able to play a game? There are a number of teams out there. Maxi Kleber from Dallas tested positive, and they shut down their facility. The 76ers Saturday played a game where they actually were forced to dress 8 guys, but one of those guys wasn't even healthy and wasn't going to play. He sat on the bench in a uniform, and they played seven guys. This is asinine to me. The fact that the league is putting teams at this kind of disadvantage. This is just an unfair disadvantage for these teams that are now forced to quarantine and sit these guys. I mean, obviously they're forced to sit these guys because you don't want them spreading, potentially spreading COVID-19. So you have to isolate them. That's what they should do. Frankly, everybody who comes in contact with these guys should be isolated. And I don't understand. I will preface this by saying I've always been consistent by saying I trust the science. And this is a novel. This is a novel coronavirus. This is something that hasn't existed before. And so the science is behind on a lot of this. One of the pushbacks that I get from people who want to fight me about, hey, you should wear a mask, and they're like, no, you don't know what the mask does. It's not effective. Like, these scientists are getting new information. And I remember at the beginning of this, the very beginning, back almost a year ago in March, I would go out for a run. I'd go out for a run, no mask, no nothing. It was like, hey, if you're running by people, this doesn't matter. And then suddenly it mattered, and you always had to wear a mask outside. And then now the NBA is saying like, well, it doesn't really matter anymore because it's within 6 feet and for more than 15 minutes. That's their science. It doesn't make sense to me. So part of what I'm saying here and part of what I'm thinking is my own natural reaction to this doesn't make sense. I don't understand how these guys are not exposed. How is it that Jason Tatum, who tested positive, played in this game against Washington, and only Bradley Beal, because they had a close conversation and who knows, dinner or whatever they might have had before that. It's only Bradley Beal that's out for the Wizards because of contact tracing. How does Jason Tatum play an entire game around these guys, breathing heavy? How is that not exposure to everybody that was on the floor with him? He had the ball in his hand and he's breathing on the ball and everybody touches that ball. Now, Tatum may not be, you can say, well, you know, it's if you believe that 15 minute thing, that 6 feet within fit, you know, it has to be 15 minutes. All right. If that's what the science says, if that's truly what the science says, okay, fine. But he's still with the ball. He's still touching the ball and everybody touches that ball. And you know, in the middle of a game, people touch their mouth, people touch their nose, people touch their eyes. I just don't understand how it's possible that only Bradley Beal is quarantined out of this. And what I'm afraid is going to happen is a few other guys are going to have it. It's going to be too early to catch it. They're going to go play these other games, infect other players. They're going to catch it. And then a day later, 2 days later, the Wizards all start testing positive. And then the teams that they play 3-4 days from then, they start testing positive. That's why I think the NBA should just say 2 weeks, everybody shut it down for 2 weeks. Learn the lesson that the country didn't learn at the beginning of this pandemic. Shut it down at the beginning before all hell breaks loose. Shut it down. Isolate everybody for 2 weeks, let it run its course, retest everybody again, start it up again. That's 2 weeks is doable to make up. It's doable. Even if you have to cut the season down from 72 to 68 games or something, you know, maybe you extend the season a little bit. I don't know. Maybe you cut down that quote-unquote all-star break. You don't really have a full week. Maybe you just make it 5 days. Maybe you can sneak another game in there. Somehow, there's a way to make this happen. But the league says, nope. Here's a quote from the league. Sopan Deb, friend of the show, New York Times, talked to a league spokesman who said, quote, "We anticipated that there would be game postponements this season and planned this season accordingly. There are no plans to pause the season. We will continue to be guided by our medical experts and our health and safety protocols. All I can say to that is, man, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I saw one of the NBA writers tweet out that the league is kind of hoping that the further you get away from the holidays, this will taper off, in that their health and safety protocols are going to kind of get them through this rough patch. But even if that's true, how is this fair to the Boston Celtics? How is this fair to the Philadelphia 76ers and the Dallas Mavericks and whichever other team now has to field a team that's half of their players? Jaylen Brown is out. Jason Tatum is out. The Celtics starters, you're missing three key starters, plus Robert Williams, Grant Williams, Semi Ojeleye, all rotation players. Javonte Green is a contributor. All of these guys mean something. How is that fair for the Celtics to go in and play Chicago and Orlando twice in the Knicks? Luckily, it's not a murderer's row of teams, but what if they lose? What if they go 2-2 on a stretch where they could have gone 4-0? What does that mean for seeding? How is that fair to the Celtics? And what if that does cause a spread, more importantly? I don't like it. I just don't like it. I don't like the idea of expanded rosters either. Don't make it a 20-man roster, because now you're just adding guys that it's a G League team at that point. I feel like the right thing to do is just pause the season. Just take that time, that 10 days, whatever. If you want to say 10 days, make it 10 days. So everybody can get back to full strength. It can be fair for everybody. There's no real risk of spreading it. These guys are isolated. 10 days. I'll compromise. I say 2 weeks. If you want to make it 10 days, okay, whatever. But stop this. Stop the spread of this thing. The last thing you want, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, these guys are going home to their kids. They're going home to their families. Jaylen Brown's going back to his grandfather, who's already fought cancer twice. Do you want these guys exposed and taking it back home? If Jaylen Brown's grandfather, heaven forbid, is exposed to this, what then? If these guys with their kids get exposed to this, you don't know the long-term impact. We think we know something, but we don't know. The NBA needs to be smarter, and I don't like what they're doing. This will continue to be a topic, so I'm sure we'll be talking about this again. In the meantime, there was a game on Friday that I can still talk about here, so I will talk about that up next. Have you had one of these Built Bars? I keep talking about Built Bars. They are fantastic protein bars that are just great, healthy alternatives to some of the other protein bars that are out there that are just thick and dense and all of that stuff. Even if you want something like sweet, even if you're sitting there saying like, protein bar, not my thing. All right, how about this? Are you a snacker? Are you like a chocolate fiend? Do you want to grab a candy bar or a Built Bar, where the calories are dispersed differently? They're covered in chocolate. There are great flavors. There are flavors without nuts if you're allergic. And soft and easy to chew. Great if you're health conscious. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. You grab one of these peanut butter ones that I love, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 net carbs. So you want a candy bar, but something that's going to actually do some good for you? Grab a Built Bar. You can go and use the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. Go buy one box. If you don't trust me, or if you're not sure, if you don't think you're going to like them, go buy one box. At BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get 20% off. But the best part is, if you love them, like I do, go back to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off that order too, and you can stock up. So check it out, BuiltBar.com, Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. On Friday, the Boston Celtics beat the Washington Wizards 116-107 in a game that should have been a blowout, but they let go of the rope in the fourth quarter. That's going to happen sometimes with a huge lead against a bad team. They got hot, they came back, but the Celtics were able to hold them off. That win moved the Celtics to 7-3. And as of this fine Monday morning, 7-3 is good enough for a tie atop the Eastern Conference standings with the Philadelphia 76ers, and a half game behind the LA Lakers for the best record in the league. So after all of our consternation, after everything that's happened, after all of everything, on Monday, the Celtics have the second best record in the league after they played 10 games. Are they the second best team in the league? No. But they've put themselves in a position to withstand this, whatever happens with COVID in this next 10 to 14 day stretch. However long, I don't know how long these guys are going to be out, but they are at least at 7-3 in the second best record in the league, able to withstand a couple of losses because they're shorthanded. If they understandably lose to one of these teams, one of these Orlando games, Orlando 6-4, they're playing well. But they can at least take care of, they've at least taken care of enough business to stay in the hunt near the top, however this shakes out. But it is nice to see the Celtics at the top of the standings. So as I was saying on Friday, the Celtics blew a lead. There was a 15-3 Washington run to start the fourth quarter. Peyton Pritchard hit a three because of course. And that started a 7-0 run that kind of calmed everything down. Then Jaylen Brown hit a big three-pointer. He, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum finished off the game. Jason Tatum and Bradley Beal, of course, because the two St. Louis guys were going to duel. You knew that was going to happen. Tatum, 32 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 14 of 27. Beal, 41 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 16 of 29. I think it was the second straight Bradley Beal game with 40-plus points and a loss. You just wonder how much longer he's going to be okay with how things are going over there. But that's an aside. Doesn't mean anything for the Celtics unless they give up players to trade for him. He's not going to fit in the traded player exception no matter what they do. He doesn't fit. So if the Celtics do want Bradley Beal, they're going to have to match that salary. And I don't know if they want to give up. I just don't know how that's going to work. But that was an aside. Jaylen Brown, 9 of 19 shooting, 27 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. However, 5 turnovers. And the turnovers are a little bit of a problem, I think. Nothing to go crazy about here. It's a little stretch of turnovers here. Going back to the Memphis game, 4 turnovers, 4, 6, 4, 1, just 1 against Miami, and then 5 against Washington. So the good thing is only 1 loss in there, that Detroit game, the first of that back-to-back in Detroit. But just something to keep an eye on. Jaylen Brown has had an all-NBA type start to the season, and certainly not worried about Jaylen Brown's performance, but also the turnovers have just ticked up ever so slightly. Something to watch for. The biggest story in this game, obviously, very obviously, was Taco Fall. Daniel Theis started at center because at that point it was Grant, Rob, and Tristan Thompson were all out. So Theis started at center. He picked up a couple of quick fouls, and then it was taco time. Taco Fall came in, pressed into service, and did a nice job. Played 19 minutes, 2 of 3, 8 rebounds, and 3 blocked shots. Fantastic for Taco Fall. He, most impressively, looked like he was moving well. He had a dribble handoff that you could see some fluidity in there. And that fluidity has not always been there for Taco Fall. Like the movement, he was very robotic, very stiff last season. And, you know, even a little bit in this game, but you could see so much progress. So much progress. Very, very impressive. You know, I was talking to some of the Celtics coaches last season, and they were saying, like, hey, you know, we see an NBA player in this guy. We see an NBA player. And last season, you're like, eh, you know, maybe not. But now, all of a sudden, you see Taco out there, and you're like, huh. I mean, he's not going to spray the floor or anything, but he was moving. The play where he caught an alley-oop from Jaylen Brown, Washington pushed the ball, and I think Beal was going in for a layup. Now, this was pretty poor transition defense. Off a make, which is a problem the Celtics have. Washington off a make ran and was going to get a layup, and Taco busts his ass all the way down, blocks the shot. That sequence, catching the alley-oop and running baseline to baseline to block that layup attempt, that was fantastic. Unbelievably good. Very impressed. Very happy for Taco Fall. Earlier in the game, he had blocked Russell Westbrook. Westbrook went up to challenge the big guy, and he was right there to block the dunk. I think it was just a really good performance for Fall. Now, of course, it came against the Washington Wizards, who are not very good. And I wouldn't expect too much out of Taco throughout. Like, I'm not sitting there saying, like, oh boy, the Celtics have a big man problem now because they really should not be start doing the double bigs. And they've already got Tice and Tristan and Rob. Now you got to throw Taco into that mix. I don't think so. But this did show a level of ability that wasn't there last season, wasn't there in the bubble. And it's frankly the result of a lot of hard work, a lot of weird work for a guy who's 7.5 feet tall, because Jay Larinaga, Celtics assistant coach who works with him, he's a shooter. Jay Larinaga is a shooter. Side note, do not challenge Jay Larinaga in a shooting contest. Do not. He beats Celtics in shooting contests. But he has Taco out there shooting threes. He's got Taco out there doing dribbling drills, all kinds of crazy things. And I would tweet that out over the course of last season. People were like, why are people doing that? Why aren't they putting him in the post? Well, now you saw it. Now you saw it in this game, where he's up at the top of the key or at the elbow line, at the elbow, free throw line extended, and dribble handoffs and spinning and executing it fairly well and moving. It's just, that's where that kind of stuff pays off. Not because they want him shooting threes, but hey, he was 0-for-2 from the line, but he said, because I'm out there shooting these threes, I do feel more comfortable about my form. I feel better about shooting my free throws. And frankly, yeah, 0-for-2, but he it's so much better. If you saw him at UCF shooting free throws, it was like four distinct janky movements. This is at least a little bit more fluid. He's making progress. So, shouts to Taco Fall. Taco's, like I said, I'm happy for him. So that was a great story on Friday. Nice thing to have on a Friday night. Up next, Kemba Walker. We learned on Friday that Kemba Walker is cleared to practice with the team. Of course, once he's cleared, COVID shuts the whole building down, but he is cleared to practice with the team. So I'm going to talk about that next. You should be listening to the new Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q, host of Locked On Raiders, and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. He's an expert handicapper. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets to get your edge when it comes to laying some money down. It's brought to you by betonline.ag. Now, you can go to betonline.ag and sign up for a free account and use the promo code Locked On, and you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. So whatever you deposit, half of that is matched by BetOnline, and they are going to basically give you a win once you sign up. So when you're listening to Locked On Bets to figure out exactly where to lay down your money, go through betonline.ag, see all the different kinds of bets that you can lay down, lots of prop bets, lots of in-game stuff, all kinds of things to kind of, you know, you can take whatever you want, whatever you're comfortable with. Of course, gamble responsibly. Just make sure that you're careful, but whatever you're comfortable with, whatever you can handle, go out there. You can watch a football game and bet on each quarter and bet on field goals and bet on whatever. It's all there on betonline.ag. So get into the action and use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. If the Celtics do actually play this week, Tuesday at Chicago, Wednesday at home for a Wednesday-Friday Orlando miniseries, I will be here for post-game podcast after those Tuesday and Wednesday games. Nothing after Friday's game unless something momentous happens. But make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Celtics for these post-game pods and some fun in between. We learned on Friday that Kemba Walker is coming back, that Kemba Walker is cleared to practice, and he has been pain-free. Now, Brad Stevens said that Kemba was pain-free for a couple of months, and then he kind of caught himself like, well, maybe not a couple months, but ever since he's been back. That essentially, from the beginning of December, when they came back to camp, Kemba hasn't been experiencing pain. That's basically what Brad Stevens has said. So then he said, quote, I think the next progression for him is to get out there on the court with the other guys on the team. He's been out there with the coaching staff. He's been out there both in one-on-one workouts, but he's also in his reads, four-on-four, five-on-five stuff. The next step now is to play some live in practice, some live with our guys. I don't think he's too far. He looks great. He feels great. So here's the thing with Kemba. Now the question is, can he do five-on-five stuff with anybody? And I'm very curious. The initial expectation was that Kemba was going to come back potentially sometime this week. If not this week, sometime next week. Probably. Now, if all of these guys are out and half the team is out with COVID, is Brad Stevens going to just say, you know what? Len, his 5-on-5 is going to be in the game, and we're going to limit him and play him 15 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever their program is. I'm curious to see what's going to happen there. I would expect that he's going to have very limited participation. I think one of those start the game, play 7-8 minutes, go back into the locker room, check it out, you know, go through stretching, go through treatment, whatever, warm up again, come out, play third quarter, 7-8 minutes, then go back into the locker room and make sure you go through the treatment and everything again. Some, you know, maybe some electric stim, all that crazy stuff that they do. I think they probably will do that for a little while just to get him acclimated. Don't expect Kemba to come back and play 30 minutes a game. He might not play 30 minutes a game until March. But the good news is that he's going to be back. Now, the question is, once everybody's healthy, eventually the Celtics are going to be healthy. We will assume. The question is now, who loses the minutes when Kemba's back? I think Peyton Pritchard has done enough to earn those minutes. But I also think the Celtics are going to rely on Jeff Teague because you can trust Teague a little bit as a veteran. And I don't know, that Pritchard-Teague dynamic for when Kemba's back is going to be really interesting. Like, Pritchard has certainly earned minutes. He's playing like 20 minutes a game, and he should be playing 20 minutes a game. He's doing very, very well. If Jeff Teague never played again, or his DNPs forever, so be it, as far as I'm concerned. But I don't know what Brad Stevens is going to think. And people will probably come out and say, well, you know, it's going to be the rookie because of Brad Stevens, even though he's playing this rookie 20 minutes. But it could be a mix. It could be 15 minutes of Pritchard and 15 minutes of Teague. It's not going to matter quite as much because Kemba's going to be on those minutes restrictions. But eventually, that jockeying for position is going to work itself out. Stevens has already tipped his hand saying that they weren't going to play those double bigs for, you know, as much during Kemba's return, which probably means they're going to start Kemba and Smart with Tatum and Brown and then pick a big, either Tice or Tristan Thompson, maybe depending on the matchup. That's going to make an interesting rotation for the bigs. And how much does Robert Williams play? Does he get any increase in minutes? What does that do? What happens there? But if they start Smart, then there's going to be room for Pritchard. It's almost like the double big lineup creates room for Robert Williams because those guys are both starting, so they both have to rest, and there is some room for Robert Williams to kind of fill that gap and get Grant some minutes and maybe get Shemmy some minutes. But if the Celtics decide to go double big or go with a different, maybe you start Grant, maybe you start Shemmy, if they go that route and Marcus Smart is your backup point guard, then one of those guys in Pritchard or Teague is going to get significantly squeezed out. And right now I think Teague is in line for that. At least that would be what I do. But there's room for discussion here. And I don't know what's going to happen. The Celtics were not available for the media on Saturday. They were not available to the media on Sunday. Saturday they canceled their practice because of COVID. And because the game was postponed, there was no media availability on Sunday. And Monday, I don't know what's going to happen Monday here because the Celtics will be traveling to Chicago. So I don't know who might be available, what the plan is. Once I know something, I will especially be tweeting it out. So follow me at RedsArmy_John. That's going to be where you first get anything that I learn. And then I will talk about it here. Hopefully we get some clarity. But right now, the Celtics, Monday, traveling to Chicago, theoretically, for a game on Tuesday. Will they have enough guys? Find out. Subscribe to the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you're a new listener, really appreciate you checking out the show, sticking around here, getting to this point. If you've made it this far, that means I think that you like it, or at least you're willing to give it a chance. So go ahead and subscribe to get this dropped to your device wherever you subscribe, however you decide to subscribe. You regular listeners, you know I love you. I know those 5-star reviews are great, and the good written reviews are great. You've made the show the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the universe. I'm assuming that even if there's another planet out there, that podcast isn't as good as this one. So thank you for the ratings and reviews, and of course, sharing the podcast, telling everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.